D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, and we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, we will be joined momentarily by Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, presented by Old National Bank. Get old, Elliot, just wrapping up some stuff in Edmonton. That is where the Stanley Cup Final is. Oilers win game one, 4-3 in overtime on a power play goal by Leon Draisaitl. As we wait for Elliot, I do want to provide an update on something we discussed yesterday as it relates to the NHL and the state tax, no state tax thing that we have talked about so much over the past few years because of all of the Southern teams that have been succeeding in the NHL. Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner, and Bill Daly, the deputy commissioner, before the start of every Stanley Cup final, they hold a State of the NHL address of sorts, and this was a topic of conversation. And according to Chris Johnston of The Athletic, quote, while Bill Daly acknowledged that some of the league's clubs have raised the state income tax thing as an issue, he said the NHL's head office doesn't, quote, share the level of concern that they have. Quote, these imbalances have existed forever, Daly said Wednesday. There's nothing new here. There are so many reasons why a player may choose to play in a particular location, for a particular team, for a particular coach, that have nothing to do with the tax situation in that market. So I don't think it's anything we're going to address proactively as part of this collective bargaining negotiation. So, Willie, glad to hear that the NHL doesn't seem to think that this is a huge deal.
Yeah, because it allows Nashville to continue to use the advantage, and it is an advantage, I believe. I thought it was interesting, Elliot, and he can elaborate on this when we get him on, in his podcast, said the Players Association really doesn't think it's worth fighting for. Because as you said, D-Mace, when you are in that chair as a player negotiating, you got to decide, what are we going to fight for? What's worth fighting for, and what can we live with? Right?
Yes.
So they don't think it's a big deal. I think, I guarantee you, many of them are aware of their paycheck and how much stays in their paycheck and how much is taxed.
Of course.
But I think collectively they don't really say, this is the one, this is the hill we want to die on. Mm-hmm.
We do have Elliot Freeman on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, Sportsnet NHL Insider, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. So, Elliot, a thrilling comeback for the Edmonton Oilers last night, ignited by two former members of the Nashville Predators, Victor Arvidsson and Matthias Ekholm. I do want to ask you about Ekholm specifically. We here in Nashville had the pleasure of watching Ekholm for several years. He was perennially underrated, I think, in the NHL when he was playing in Nashville. I know that he had many playoff runs, the Stanley Cup Final in 2017, but seeing him with the Edmonton Oilers, he's on the biggest stage each of these past two seasons. Just how vital has Ekholm been to the success of the Edmonton Oilers since he joined the organization a couple of years ago?
Well, I think that, Adam, that Ekholm is one of those rare people who comes up to Canada and we aren't suddenly picking his carcass and saying, oh my God, this is everything that's wrong about his game. That he's one of those players who comes up here and actually the legend grows. And, you know, I think, for example, he's a great skater. He's an extremely competitive player. He's low maintenance, as you guys know. But I think the other thing that really helped him is that he and his family have really embraced the city. And, you know, with all the talk about how hard it is to attract players to Canada and how many guys want to play in Canada as opposed to being in tax havens like Nashville, Tennessee, here's a guy who has arrived. His family loves it. He loves it. And it's very obvious that he is incredibly respected by the McDavid-Draisaitl leadership duo. Like, they, when you see them together, they listen to what he has to say. They care about his opinion. And look, like last night, the point when he scored the tying goal, the point, Ekholm, McDavid to each other, like that's two guys who really respect each other. And his legend has grown since he was traded to Northern Alberta.
Another Predators adjacent piece of news yesterday, the Pittsburgh Penguins hired Dan Muse, former Predators assistant coach, as their head coach. And I'll be honest with you, Elliot, I was surprised to see this. I wasn't sure that Dan Muse had NHL head coaching potential. I figured he might just be a really good assistant coach, but didn't think that he was on the short list to become an NHL head coach. Were you surprised by Muse's hiring in Pittsburgh? And what does that say about the direction the Penguins are going in, hiring a first-time head coach for that veteran organization?
Well, I was surprised. I think I was the first guy to mention that he was interviewed on one of our – I think I mentioned him on a couple of previous pods that I'd heard he'd been interviewed, and I heard he was – and then, like, initially I thought, Adam, it was just, you know, you do the first round by Zoom and then you narrow it down. I thought he'd just been a Zoom interview, but someone said no. Like, he went to Pittsburgh and he had a face-to-face. So immediately, I was like, "Wow! Like, that's interesting." And when I mentioned his name on the pod, like, I had some people reach out to me, and they were kind of like, "There's no way he's getting that job. Like, he's a smart young guy, but he's not going to be the next head coach of Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins." And I kind of discounted it. And then I started to hear yesterday morning, about an hour before the announcement, that he was probably going to be the guy. And I was like scrambling to confirm it. And first of all, I tip my cap to him, because if you know, but one of the things I really believe, Adam, is that the right people are always watching. You know, whether someone's name is well known out there or it isn't, if you do good work, the right people always know it, whether we realize it or not. And I'll say this about him. I had a number of people reach out to me who said that he's one of those guys that fits that description. He doesn't call a lot of attention to himself. He's not like a physically imposing person. Like, you don't, like, I guess he's listed at like 5'10", 178 or something like that when he played. So, like, you wouldn't look at him and say, wow, like, there's someone who necessarily commands the room. But what I did hear about him was he was the first guy to arrive and the last guy to leave. And he never took a shortcut on the work. I like to see those guys get rewarded. I think this is a huge challenge for him, because what it says to me is that Kyle Dubas is serious about rebuilding the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I don't know if tearing it down to the studs is the right word, because you have Crosby there. But he's serious about that. This is going to be a rebuild, and they are. And one thing about Muse is he has a history with young players. He knows how to deal with them. He knows how to handle them. He's won in junior hockey. He's coached the national development team, and Pittsburgh is going young. That's what it says to me, that Kyle Dubas is serious about what he's talking about, and he wanted a coach who could deal with young players.
Elliot, one more for me before I hand it off to Derek. You had an update on your podcast earlier this week about Jonathan Marchessault. We have been under the impression that he has had a modified no-trade clause in his contract. You reported he has a full no-movement clause in his contract, which complicates things a little bit, depending on what the Predators decide to do with Marchessault. As we discussed last week, he has only played in non-tax states, from Tampa Bay to Florida to Vegas to Nashville. So as we play armchair GM with this, should we focus our attention on teams in non-tax states?
Well, you know, I have to tell you, first of all, a lot of this happened because of my hit with you last week when I said that there was a limited amount of places that Marchessault was willing to go. And then someone reached out to me after and said, you know, you're wrong about that. Nashville has more control. So I said it on the pod, and then someone else said to me, you're wrong about that. And that he has the full no move through the end of the 2027-28 season. And so Marchessault does have a lot of control about this, on this. I'll say this. I think that this is the biggest contract of Marchessault's career. So I do think he wants to protect that, and I think there's something very right about that. I don't think that there's anything wrong with him wanting to do that. However, I have been told that he is willing to judge it on a case-by-case basis, and if he thinks a situation is good for him and his family, he will consider it. So I've been told not necessarily to, like, I do think he wants to protect the contract as much as he can, Adam, but I've also been told that if it makes sense in terms of winning and family, not to throw things out in the garbage.
Now, Elliot, do you think that affects how the how Barry Trotz move forward with this? Because obviously something, because of what happened last year, something has to change. He retains the coach. So you know you had to have some conversations with all these guys, not yeah. just once, but twice. But how do they proceed now that, you know, we know it, they already knew it, but do they continue to try to potentially see if there's a place for Marcia Salt, or do they look in another direction?
I think they will continue to look. Like, I do think there is a willingness there to explore mm-hmm. this. I think that the team has made it clear they would like to explore this, and I think the player has made it clear that he is willing to consider it. Again, at the end of the day, Marcia Salt has the contractually earned right to decide if he's willing to accept it or not. But I think both sides know there's a willingness to explore it. I think the one of the biggest questions here is, what do the Predators think is an acceptable return? You know that people are going to try to squeeze you. That's what they did. Like, these GMs are like sharks in the water, right, Derek? So I think they're going to try to say, well, you know, like, Marcia Salt is a good player. They're going to say, I'm not sure about the term or the contract. You know, what are you going to do to sweeten it for us? And Barry Trotz is going to say, you know what, this guy is a couple of years away from being the MVP of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, come on. So I think one of the biggest parts to all of this is going to be the poker involved in making the trade, and does Trotz feel, or does his research out there tell him he has to sweeten it to make it work? Or does he simply say, we're not doing that? And so I think that is still to be determined here.
Great point. And Elliot, it is so interesting you mentioned that, because I wanted to ask you about Matt Duchene, another guy that the Predators yeah. made a very difficult decision on a couple years ago. And it has played out very interesting, because I think the Predators felt that for the price they were paying him and the responsibility on him, it was underwhelming, the return. Then he goes to Dallas for 2 years as a $3 million guy, and he exceeded expectations in the regular season. That's an easy one. But as they really needed him in the playoffs, he didn't have a great playoff. But so the next contract is really intriguing to me for him, because as he said, I think that his quote was something, I want some stability. I don't want to just go year to year here.
Yeah, I think he wants stability. He wants the biggest and best contract that he can get, and I can't blame him for that. Everybody tries to do that. I think his preference, though, I think, would be to stay. Matt Duchene has been around enough situations that didn't work out their best for him, that he knows a good situation when he sees it. It's a good situation for him in Dallas. The biggest challenge, though, there is, Willie, is that Dallas has some big decisions to make. I believe they want to keep another friend of Nashville, that being Michael Granlund. I think they want him to continue being a part of their Finnish mafia there. So, you know, they only have about $5 million in cap room, and, you know, Granlund's going to command a nice ticket. So that says to me, if they are going to keep him, they're going to have to make some very difficult decisions. And it's possible Duchene could be one of them. So I think he'd like to stay in Dallas. I think he knows it's worked out for him there. But at the very least, he has to be open to the possibility that his best offer might not be in Dallas.
As Derek likes to say on the show all the time, the market will tell you what you're worth. So it is going to be interesting to follow those storylines, especially with the choices that Dallas has to make. I want to ask you about the goalie interference last night. You brought it up on your pod this morning, and I was thinking the same thing. I saw Sam Bennett, who we know is a wily, crafty player who will do, he will get on the line, bend the rules, do all those things. I saw a guy who, I think I will use the word flopped, right? He got tripped, yes, but he made no attempt to keep his balance. It's like, you know, hey, you pushed me a little bit into the pool. Do I want to act and just be funny about it and fly back into the pool and make a big splash so everybody laughs? Or do I want to try to keep my balance and not fall in the pool? He fell in the pool, and he wanted to fall in the pool.
There was a quick shot. I don't know if you guys can – I don't know if the TNT broadcast or camera showed the same shot. But after the ruling, our cameras cut to the bench, and Bennett had this big smile on his face. And I was just laughing. Like, it was almost as if, like, when you're a kid and you try something, like, I can't believe I got away with that. Like, that – it was just a funny look he had on his face. I'm with you, Willie. I didn't think it should have counted. But, you know, I'll say this, Willie. Like, most of the people who reached out to me about it, they felt it was, should have been a good goal because of the defensive contact. And, you know, in the playoffs, goalie interference challenges, the teams are 0-4. So the league is making it very clear. You've got to give us a really good reason to take off a goal. What that does is it sets a tone for the series, too. It's like, you know, all I want is it's got to be consistent from here on in. If it gets challenged again, I want to see it called the same way. But what that says is if a defenseman pushes you in front of the crease, you know, you have the license to, I guess, as you say, go flop city and see where you end up.
Is there a better shooter? Like, I know we have a lot of good shooters, and you've seen him. You mentioned Mike Bossy a lot, and I grew up watching him a lot. I was just a kid, so I wasn't studying as much. But Leon Draisaitl, when there's a certain air, when he gets the puck, and of course he's got one of the greatest passers too, setting him up, that game-winning goal, but it was so vintage where he doesn't need as much time as virtually anybody else, and his accuracy is incredible. That was so vintage, McDavid to Draisaitl.
On that right side of the net, if the game was in Edmonton and Draisaitl was standing outside Tootsie's, I would be shocked if he didn't score. Like, when it, like from that area, he can't miss. Like, anytime he misses from there, I honestly can't believe it. I cannot believe when he misses from there. And the thing is, too, is where we sit, where I sit for these playoff games, we're at the top of the lower bowl and basically right behind the benches. I saw that whole play unfolding. The moment the Oilers got the puck down low or towards the low end of the ice, I was like, this game's over. And Barkov is one of the best players in the world, but you put him on a two-on-one, basically in his own zone against McDavid and Draisaitl, even he's got to hope those two screw it up. And they weren't screwing that one up on the power play.
That's right.
Elliot, before we let you go, we were talking about this before you joined us, but Bill Daly and Gary Bettman talked before game one last night. The state income tax issue was brought up. Bill Daly said this is not an issue that the NHL really needs to concern itself with. Do you think that the teams that may be raising this as an issue will go quietly, or do you think that they'll still try to make a way for this to be legislated in the CBA?
I just don't think there's going to be a choice because after Daly and Bettman talked, the two leads of the Players Association, Marty Walsh and the former player Ron Hainsey, they had a brief scrum, and Hainsey basically said the players aren't concerned about it either. So if you've got the league saying, and you've got the players saying, then there's not enough strength to bring it into the negotiation. I think the other thing, too, is, and some of the teams that are really affected by it, they say, look, like the teams that are no-tax states, they don't want to give up their advantage. So I'm sure that the people who run the Nashville Predators are looking at this like, why would we, and combined with Dallas and Vegas and the Florida teams, and I think Seattle, too, is a no-tax state, I think those teams would sit there and say, why would we allow it to legislate one of our advantages out of the game? I just don't think there's enough support for this, Adam, to end it. I think the other thing, too, is they really want to get this CBA done. I just don't think there's enough for people to fight over. There's no will to fight here. They right now they've got a good thing going, and they want to try to get there as quick as they can.
Quickly, last one for you, Elliot. We know that this NHL draft will be decentralized. I know the NHL will probably go back to the normal format next summer.
No.
But I'm wondering about the NHL scouting combine, because we know that a lot of important trades and deals and such get done on the draft floor because all of the GMs and the scouts, they're in the same place at the same time. Will the NHL scouting combine replace that this year, since there will be no opportunity?
Yes. Like everybody's there and the names are flying. Like there's no question that this is a very, very big event for that kind of thing. And if there isn't stuff done by the weekend, the groundwork will be laid for it to be done when the proper time comes.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL insider, joining us as he does every Thursday. Sponsored.
Can we get one more inside from Elliot? And this is inspired by Joe Dubin, because Greg Wyshynski, Elliot, goes on our show before we come on. So our mid-morning show, if you will. Joe Dubin, one of our hosts, asked Greg Wyshynski if he was going to be hopping on a yak en route from Edmonton to Florida, because, and you did this last year, but they're of course fascinated by the distance between Edmonton and South Florida. What are your plans on how you're going to get from Edmonton to Sunrise?
Well, there is a charter. I think there's 75 seats on it. And
so no yaks.
I am on the charter. I think there's 12 people from Sportsnet who have been given the opportunity to fly the charter. And so we're doing that. And I'm not going to knock it. We are lucky because, it's funny. I was sitting here, Willie. You would know John Ahlers and Brian Hayward, who are the Anaheim broadcast team. They did one, I think the international feed, I think it was, of the Dallas-Edmonton series last round, the Western Final. And game two in Dallas was a night game. Game three in Edmonton was an afternoon game, 36 hours later. You cannot get directly from Edmonton to Dallas, and they didn't get there in time. So I am very glad to be taking this charter.
My goodness, poor guys.
Elliot Freeman, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, great stuff as always. Enjoy game two. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
Elliot Freeman joining us on the program, 615-737-1025. I mentioned the NHL Scouting Combine. The NHL Draft is, I believe, 3 weeks from tomorrow. It will be here sooner than you know it. And I did an exercise about what it might take for the Predators to trade up in the NHL Draft. And I will present my findings coming up next, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.